to the programme. Recently, the independent Ireland TD, Ken O'Flynn, established through a parliamentary question that 12 babies were born alive after abortion in Ireland in 2022. The figure of 12 babies was provided by the HSE from a National Perinatal Epidemiology Centre report, and only babies weighing 500 grams or more and or with a gestation age of 24 weeks or longer were included. Of the 12 abortion cases born alive in that year, 9 were at 22 to 27 weeks and 2 were at 28 to 31. The report states that all but one of the 12 were suffering from a major congenital anomaly. It also mentions 11 other babies delivered alive in 2022 whose weight was either less than 500 grams or whose gestation was less than 24 weeks. That makes 23 babies born alive. I'm joined on the line now by Sheila Quinlan from the Pro-Life Campaign. Sheila Quinlan, good afternoon or good evening to you, and you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks so much for having me, Aidan.
Sheila, we had difficulties with the phone line last week when you were on, and we had to bring the conversation to an end. Hopefully we'll have more success this evening. But I was making the point last week to you that even those who may have been supportive of abortion and voted to repeal the 8th back in 2018 cannot but be concerned about these figures.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose my first thought is, wow, you know, are we really talking about this? Are we really talking about babies surviving a procedure? And abortion is defined in Irish law as a procedure intended to end the life of the fetus. So I think we have to be clear about that. But it's hard to believe that here I am now talking to you, Aidan, and to your listeners about babies being born alive, surviving abortion procedure and being born alive for, you know, however short a time. And I think it's incredibly shocking, even just at human level, to imagine what that must be like. I think, first of all, obviously the babies involved, regardless of what their diagnosis was. And secondly, you know, I have absolute compassion for the mother and or the parents in that situation, and how shocking and heartbreaking it must be for them, and also for the medical staff that are involved. While, you know, I would like to think that no medical person would participate in ending the life of a baby, I still have compassion for the fact that what a harrowing situation it must be for them all that are involved in this. But you know what? Sadly, it's not a surprise, Aidan. While the figure is shocking, there were 10 babies survived in 2010 in a similar situation. And I suppose we have to ask the question, how many more have there been since the law has come into effect? And this is only going to possibly get worse, because what we are seeing is year on year, the abortion numbers are increasing dramatically year on year, and you could only presume that by default that will mean that we will see very, very sadly more cases like this. And it raises so many questions, Aidan. It raises more questions than answers.
Can I make this point to you, though, Sheila, and my apologies for cutting across you there. I think it's the case now, though, that even very small and premature babies, sometimes under 500 grams, now have a better chance of survival, and that the medical and scientific consensus on babies with major congenital anomalies, maybe described as life-limiting conditions, has shifted considerably since 2018, when the article in the Constitution was repealed.
Well, absolutely. Look, we know that, you know, with every year, the survival rate for a baby born early is improving. We know that, and I'm sure we've all heard of incredible stories of babies being born very prematurely and living a full and healthy life now. And I know myself, a friend of mine who had a baby who was less than a pound when she was born, and she headed off to college this year. Now, I know that the situations we're talking about here are different. I know that, you know, many of the diagnoses here in this situation would have been babies you know, diagnosed with, you know, a life-limiting condition. However, we also know that, you know, there are cases where there has been misdiagnosis as well. And I mean, how shocking to imagine that that may be the case and that those babies' lives are ended as well. And really, you know, there's a real humanitarian issue here, Aidan, and that's sort of screaming out in my head and I'm sure many people's heads, what happens to these babies in this situation? What is the protocol? You know, what are the steps that are taken in a situation like that where a baby survives the abortion procedure but is still alive? Maybe scrambling for a breath, and I'm very conscious, you know, not to upset people listening to this programme, but sadly, this is what abortion is. And we understand that, that there is a comfort care, supposed comfort care, is provided to babies in those circumstances. But
just for the benefit of listeners, Sheila, and again, apologies, comfort care refers to the care given to babies expected not to live long after birth, whether post-abortion or not.
Well, no, I'm referring to post... I'm referring specifically in this case to the post-abortion, so to the babies that have survived after an abortion procedure and are still alive. But we don't know, we don't know what that comfort care means in that situation. Again, they have survived a procedure intended to end their life. So does comfort care then involve withholding treatment that could potentially sustain a life? For instance, a baby that is, at close to viability, or perhaps has less severe symptoms than were initially expected. Does comfort care mean that in that situation, it is a given that the baby is not given any life-sustaining treatment? What impact do the parents have in that situation? For instance, if there is a situation where the mother or the parents, for whatever reason, maybe perhaps are too traumatised or have made the decision that they don't want to hold the baby in that situation or don't want to see the baby in that situation, does somebody else hold the baby? Does somebody else give that baby some comfort and love as they're taking their final breath? And these are harrowing thoughts to have, Aidan. And it's a harrowing conversation to have. But we're talking about Irish citizens at this point. Like, these are tiny little Irish citizens that are born into our state. And yet, there is no transparency. There is no confirmed procedures stated that would map out to us very, very clearly what happens in these situations. And you really have to think, you know, where is the dignity and where are the human rights and who is protecting them when, you know, we don't even know actually what comfort care is. And it's really, you know, it's not good enough. It's not good enough that the Department of Health would not give us this information, because it's, you know, they're Irish citizens, and we have every right, and I'm not talking about that any sort of confidentiality would be broken in terms of the individual cases. We're talking about a general, you know, in a general situation that we would know this. And as again I say, it raises many more questions, Aidan, than we have answers for. And it's really, at this point, you know, a number of years on from abortion being legalised in Ireland, we really do need to have much more transparency. It also raises, Aidan, you know, the issue of reporting and how important that is, that we have much greater, more accurate reporting around our abortion numbers. And what the scenarios are, and Ireland is an outlier in that. Other countries like in the UK and in states in America keep much better records. And if we're really to critically look at the aftermath of you know, abortion being legalised in this country, as well as shaping policy that would work to reducing the abortion numbers. And you've heard us many times in the programme even talking about this, that, you know, this is something that we should be all working towards, is supporting women providing women with real positive alternatives if they want to continue with their pregnancy, and working together to support women who want to continue with their pregnancy. Because really, at the moment, sadly, all roads are leading to abortion. We have, again, dramatic abortion numbers came out for 2024 with 10,852 abortions. That's one in every six babies in Ireland is now aborted. And that's a new record high for Ireland. That's like the population of Ballina, Aidan Fear, Mayo listeners. And it's really, really sad. And we really should be working to do better than this.
Can I just raise two final points with you, Sheila? In response to questions, the HSE states that clinical teams follow established national clinical guidance and local multidisciplinary care plans, and this includes a pathway for management of fatal fetal anomaly and or life-limiting conditions diagnosed during pregnancy. Is that not, I suppose, gives some succour that that the situation is being dealt with to some extent at any rate?
Well, you would love to think so. And actually, I just read that those guidelines actually just before I came on the programme. I said I'd read them again to just remind myself of it. Really, no is the answer. There's no clarity in it. There's very little detail on it in terms of treatment of babies surviving born alive after an abortion. And again, as I say, it raises more questions than answers. And it's not good enough to say, you know, we don't need to provide you with this information. Trust the medics. You know, we've got this in hand. You know, that's, you know, look at what has happened in the past in many areas in this state. But even if you look recently at the scandals in the nursing home and how elderly people were treated there, we do need to have accountability. We do need to have transparency. And the HSE, the onus is on them to provide the details of what the actual care or lack thereof is given to these babies whose aim it was to end their life, I might add, but who were born and were living as Irish citizens for even a short amount of time. We need to have a much more humane and compassionate approach to these mothers, or to these babies, and of course to their mothers.
Can I just raise the issue of the mothers? Because we've been talking about the babies in this situation, but I'm just thinking here to myself as you're speaking, Sheila, that, you know, a mother who goes in for an abortion and her child is born alive, I mean, the psychological impact of that on that mother, unless she's remarkably strong and resilient, must be dreadful.
Well, I can only imagine, and I suppose there's two different scenarios. There are women who get very difficult diagnosis of life-limiting conditions who choose to continue with the pregnancy and allow the pregnancy to come to its natural end, and those babies are often born alive, and the parents spend time with those babies and really value that time. And I and palliative care, etc., is given. But I would say that is a different scenario. I would imagine, I have never been in the situation myself, but I would imagine it is a different situation to a mother or parents deciding that when given this diagnosis that they will terminate the pregnancy and end the life of the baby. And I'm sure in that situation it must be all the more difficult and all the more harrowing. And I'm sure there are situations where, you know, there must be deep regret where the baby is born alive, fighting for a breath. And, you know, what are the steps in that situation? What sort of care is given to that baby if the baby is on, you know, close to viability? Is intervention given? They're the questions that need to be answered going forward. And as I say, we do need to have a much more humanitarian focus in this whole area. And it's just not good enough to say, you know, there's nothing to see here, because there clearly is. And I think many people listening to this will be quite shocked, really, to think that this is where we are a number of years on from legalising abortion in the country.
Very good. We leave it there. Sheila Quinlan from the Pro-Life Campaign, as always, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this evening.
Thank you, Aidan.
And that brings the time now to 24 minutes to 6 o'clock. We'll take a break.
Geraghty Fields of Castlebar, proud sponsors of the Grapevine on CRC.